This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Waters.
Almighty God, the Great Creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words are love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This is just days away, and before Sharon reads from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, we all want to wish you the most blessed Christmas with family and friends, rejoicing in what this wonderful season is meant to be.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with thee." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible."
Sharon has read just a portion of the encounter of the Archangel Gabriel with the young betrothed virgin named Mary, as narrated in Luke's Gospel. What we have here is a measured, delicate, and understated revelation of God acting in history. Its Jewish flavor emerges fully in this small narrative. Here is the poetry, the personal recollections of those who experienced what we call the Incarnation, that God became flesh. Obviously, I believe the gospel record. As Gabriel will tell Mary later in this narrative, with God, nothing will be impossible. I am well aware of the skeptics picking and gnawing at the story, of the continuing efforts to rewrite, explain away, or dismiss what Scripture declares, to misrepresent the extensive and extreme measures our God has gone to create and then redeem this world. It is, as many good Christians have found, a never-ending battle to maintain and fortify the truth of Scripture. Yes, it is all contained in a very ancient book, but that does not make it less true. Perhaps this all the more affirms its truth, for it has served mankind so very well for millenniums. One gets tired of having to always defend the orthodox truth of Christianity. If you don't believe it, please take your unbelief somewhere else. Take your doubts to another religion. But of course, that is not the enemy's agenda. He would destroy our faith. If, however, you are open, with honest questions, searching for answers to these doubters' skepticism, just contact me and ask for my book on the advent of the Christ. There is laid out the reasons for the virgin birth, the incarnation, and why it is the only reasonable explanation for all that we will soon celebrate. This story, of course, is unique to Christianity. The Jewish roots, those prophecies of Isaiah, were never understood then, and rarely still are. And there are no parallels from Greek or Egyptian myths. This story stands alone in its simplicity, wonder, and beauty. And it begins with this singular announcement by the Archangel Gabriel, sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. There is no Greek word for town, but that is actually what we are to see, a small hill town of the region of Galilee. Here the angel appears to a young woman, a virgin, who is betrothed to a man named Joseph. The angel's sudden appearance and his words trouble this young woman, and understandably so. She has difficulty putting into a familiar context what the angel has said to her, and obviously so do many others. The Greek here is but a few words, but the first two are usually mistranslated and thus misunderstood. The Aramaic that stands behind the Greek would be just as simple. Kerio keratomini. The difficulty arises because of Jerome's Latin translation, which has become part of our culture, for it was the only Bible for nearly 1,000 years. Plena gratia, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. But the Latin is not nearly as precise as the Greek, nor the Aramaic. The greeting, kerio, is more than a mere hail or hello. Here is the entire purpose in one word. It literally means grace. And as a greeting, we should treat it more as a word of blessing, such as grace to you, or to our English ears, blessings be upon you. This is followed by a perfect participle passive, built again upon the root word grace. This means that what the angel Gabriel is saying is, you who are highly or greatly favored. His words are clear, and no wonder a young maiden would begin to wonder over this greeting. All of this is highly unusual, and of course, unexpected. Blessings to you who is greatly favored. The Lord is with you. This is to be God's act, His doing. This maiden in an insignificant town in, of all places, Galilee, is so favored. This is God's unmerited grace, His acting for His purposes, and Mary is that one to whom God will bestow this special gift of grace. She is to be filled with grace by God in a very unique way. The text here and in Matthew make it plain. This is to be God's presence upon her. The angel will then add only that the Lord is with you. Of course, any pious individual would enjoy God's grace and helpful presence in his life. And this, of course, would require no angelic visitation to verbalize it. But this now is different, very different. For God's favor, His grace upon this young maiden was for His special purpose and was set before the foundations of the world. The unfortunate scribal addition from verse 42 of the phrase, "Blessed are you among women," only compounds the confusion from the Latin. Here Mary is told three things. She shall conceive, give birth to a son, and his name shall be Jesus, Aramaic for Yeshua or Joshua, meaning Yahweh is our salvation. The angel will continue and tell her about the child. He will be great, the Son of the Most High, or we would say the Son of God, and Yahweh will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The angel's message is a mix of messianic promise, but much more. The messianic expectation was always for an interim kingdom, a restoration of Davidic glory, which would be passed over into God's kingdom. But here the eternal, everlasting reign of God becomes the messianic kingdom of the Davidic Messiah. Here is the first indication that God's purpose in Jesus Christ is far more than any expectations or hopes of just the Jewish people. That as Christian theology has asserted from the beginning, here is the incarnation of God Himself. If you reject miracles, you will endeavor to find other explanations for what will occur. Reject these words and seek natural, even unsavory explanations, as has been the rabbinical traditions for centuries. These traditions assert that it was all caused by a Roman soldier named Panthera, a corruption of the Greek word for virgin. Of course, there will always be those who have trouble with a God who actually enters history, who works great signs and wonders, seas dividing and rivers drying up, fire from heaven, leopards cleansed and the dead raised, not to mention blind eyes opened and the lame walking, of walking on water, and then there is always that empty tomb. Yes, the whole story of God's revelation to man is one of the miraculous, and for the Christian story, it begins here. The texts are clear. Mary had not known a man. How was this to be? The angel's words are reverent and reserved. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is such a light touch. Certainly nothing can be assumed but that this is by God's will and for His purpose. The child will be holy, the very Son of God. Then to emphasize how it is possible, the angel tells Mary that her kinswoman, Elizabeth, who was barren, totally unable to have children, now in her later years, is with child. For you see, the angel says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Let that sentence sink in. With God for His purpose, to achieve His plans, nothing will be impossible. If you ever feel overwhelmed, get the feeling that things are in chaos, falling apart, and lost, remember, with God, nothing will be impossible. The battle is His, and God is able to do what He has promised. God, for His purpose, removes the reproach of barrenness on Elizabeth. She will be blessed with a child, and now a virgin shall conceive. We can go no further in explaining this wonder. Something inconceivable will occur because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the highest power overshadowing one small maiden. The child is not begotten, but born. For this is the incarnation. It is beyond mere begottenness. The very Spirit of God enables the eternal Logos to be enfleshed as fully man. That which was at the beginning, which was with God, and that was God, who with God in the beginning made all things, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This, the Word, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity, became flesh and dwelt among men, full of grace and truth. And His glory was beheld, the glory of the only Son of the Father. This John tells us, we have heard, seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands. This Son of Mary was the Son of God. He was the very Word of God long before he assumed that position as Jesus the Messiah. To play with this preexistence of the Word, the Logos, the eternal, unrepeatable coexistence with God, to redefine, reinterpret this concept, is to attack the very idea of the Incarnation. Yes, the tenet we call the Incarnation is unique to our faith, and it does bother a lot of people, but they are bothered about it all. They reject predictive prophecy, but I know personally that this too is true. They reject healing, and that too I know to be true. They reject that one can cast out demons, and I'm sorry to those dear sensitive souls, but I also know that to be true. So they reject the resurrection of our Lord, the most verifiable such event in ancient history, according to a once dedicated atheist. So tell me again why there can be no virgin birth. Assumptions, preconceptions are not truth. Such need to get out of their cloisters, their stuffy little studies, and find out that nothing will be impossible with our God. This story is indeed about one small young maiden, but it is more about God's eternal plan of redemption, the salvation of his people Israel, but also, as we have declared, that unto the Gentiles also has God granted repentance unto life. This is God condescending to be born as one like ourselves. So you see, a holy act of his Spirit could and does bring about the conception that the Logos, the very Word, might be made flesh to dwell among us, and more astonishingly, that the very glory of the Lord might be seen. Yes, it always comes down to the cross, where the most precious life, the incarnate Christ, atoned for us all and rose a victor from the grave. There to receive the throne of his father David, to reign over the house of Jacob forever. For his kingdom there will be no end. So I tell you, please, have no fear. God will accomplish his purpose in history, in the church, and in our lives. For you see, with our God, nothing will be impossible. He will, praise God, bring it all to pass for his glory. Amen and amen.
Christmas is now just a few days away, and we do so want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, and may the riches of family and friends be with you to share this blessed time with. Dear ones, we are still offering my husband's study titled The Advent of Christ. This is the perfect story to share, filled with facts, reasons, and a positive look at the birth of He who has changed everything. And for this broadcast only, for all who write this week, our CD, which contains all our original Christmas music and also many wonderful favorites. The title of the CD is For Unto Us a Child is Born. So just write and ask the CD and a copy of The Advent of Christ. They are yours at no charge. This time of year always brings to mind just how wonderful you, our faithful friends, are. And we just cannot thank you enough for all that you do. We do love and appreciate all of you, for you mean so much to this ministry. Your support is what keeps the Wings of Healing radio ministry on the air and on your wonderful radio station. It keeps our many foreign outreaches supplied, our music, and the literature that is made available worldwide. With your help and with God, all things are possible. So please do write. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.com. thomasrwyatt.org. Well, again, let me express our prayer that this Christmas truly brings blessings to you and your loved ones as well. And I know your prayer for us will be the same. God love you all. This is a time of joy, a time of bountiful food and good company, but it is also the commemoration of the birth of one very special child, who is the Incarnation, He who is the Messiah, the Prophet, High Priest, and the Mighty God. This must never be overlooked, nor dare we allow our culture to ignore it, deny its reality, or the power and wonder that is truly Christmas. Our hopes and prayers are with all of you. And before Dennis closes this Christmas program by providing our addresses once again, Kathleen Sullivan performs one more of her very special Christmas compositions, a particularly beautiful song titled A Stillness Lies on Bethlehem. From our Christmas CD, For Unto Us a Child is Born, and it is being offered to you at no charge this week. I know it will warm your heart. So until next week, a Merry Christmas to all with the gift of His love.
On Bethlehem, in stable walls, the journey's end, the time at last is drawing near for those who hope and those who fear. A stillness lies on Bethlehem.
Once more, we wish all a very Merry Christmas and pray that our Lord and Savior bless you and keep you, and that the glory of this season is one that remembers what it is that we celebrate. The birth of He that has changed history and made the hope of our salvation a reality. We do wish to hear from all of you. CDs of all our programs are available, and as a gift to you, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, The Advent of the Christ. This is a scriptural look at the authenticity of the birth of our Savior and an enjoyable digression into when the birth may have taken place. This can be yours at no charge. And for this one special broadcast, also a CD of our Christmas music titled Unto Us, A Child is Born. All this can be yours at no charge. Just write and ask for the Advent of the Christ and the Christmas CD. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.